are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Wednesday, November 24th, 2021. Follow us on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and subscribe to the podcast so you get this mother clucker once it goes live. We will talk to Devin Walker from MTV. Gambling with cast members on The Challenge. What's that like? We also discuss the Hawaii special, and Devin has a six-point teaser that will save Thanksgiving. I wanted to start with the bartender. Somebody slid into the DMs, I think it was a month ago, and said, wow, bartender's on fire. And my response was, don't worry, it will fade, because the cream always rises, or in this case, sinks to the bottom. He is on a cooler right now. 2-6 in the last eight, and we didn't have a show last week because I was taping a lot of stuff over at Ness and a lot of cool stuff happening behind the scenes that we'll be able to tell you about in the coming weeks. But we didn't have a show after I got a text message on Monday night, last Monday. It was Rams against Niners, I think. And you know the bartender's on full tilt when our guy sends a player prop. I don't think he's ever had a player prop. He didn't have one last year. He couldn't have. It's mostly sides, the occasional parlay. I think he had a total this year, like a Monday night over. Yeah, Bears and Steelers over, which was an under, and then he got lucky, went over. But he sends me. He's scrambling. And you know he's in the lab, and I use lab with air quotes around it, trying to figure something out. Didn't go side, didn't go money line, didn't go total. He had Matt Stafford passing yards over. And I think the number was 286 and a half. I don't have it in front of me. I looked up late first quarter. Stafford had seven passing yards. So now the bartender just scrambling. He doesn't know what he's doing. And this is when things get good. He had a similar run last year. He was treading water. I know he had a bad start to the 2020 NFL season. Probably like, I don't know, 3-6, 3-7. But then when he loses in a really bad way, he starts to go sideways. And then he's just throwing more darts than usual. Usually he's throwing darts, trying to hit the bullseye. The darts become almost blindfolded when he starts searching for answers. So we'll pay attention. I know he's going to have something on Thanksgiving, but you never know when that text is going to come across. I put this in a couple days ago. Bears Lions first half under. And there were a couple 21s at the time. So I was happy to get under 21 at minus 110. I was told Monday Justin Fields was not going to play. And it sounds like he's now officially out, according to a couple sources, Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport. So it will be Andy Dalton. And it looks like Allen Robinson is doubtful. So as you can imagine, those 21s mostly became 20.5. I love the protection with the 21. Because if it lands 14-7, I'm going to tie, and the late people to the party are going to push. But I can't sit here and act like I hate under 20.5, especially at plus money. You could find plus 105, plus 110, I think one offshore book has. Don't love under 20.5, but it's a similar bet. These two teams stink on offense, and it sounds like it'll be Tim Boyle for the Lions, who have no playmakers aside from DeAndre Swift, who's a really good guy, you know, 20-20, and then they go to Hockenson inside the red zone quite a bit. But you look at what these teams do in the first half. This season, Chicago in the first half averaging 7.1 points per game, to be outdone by Detroit's 5.9 points per game in the first half this year. So 7.1, 5.9. You do the math. Even an extra touchdown doesn't get you over 21. The only thing I'm concerned about is a blocked punt for a touchdown, a kick return for a touchdown, pick six, strip six, fumble six, whatever. Things happen. It's football. Anything can happen. But if it's offense against offense, I like my chances under 21 flat, minus 110. really don't love the board at all. Cowboys and Raiders. Cowboys were 7 on the open, and now it's 7.5, 8, but we don't know who's playing at wide receiver. Amari Cooper out. CeeDee Lamb now questionable. So Dak Prescott could be without Cooper, Lamb, and Michael Gallup. They're going to run the football? They're going to run it down the Raiders' throat, I guess. But we know even though the Raiders stink, they still have the ability to be involved in a shootout, a back-and-forth game. I wouldn't be surprised Raiders go up 7-0. Not for one second. They've got the weapons. They're just not a good team. That doesn't mean the bad teams can't cover, though. And I'm certainly not going to lay 7.5, 8 when it was 7. This will be a very popular teaser pick. I know that. People will tease it down from 7.5 to 1.5. That's your standard Wong teaser. Go through those two key numbers, 7 and 3. So from 7.5 down to 1.5, I get it. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. I do tend to lean toward the Cowboys in the game, but as I said, I'm not going to lay it. I love good teams off losses, and that's what you have here. Cowboys lose to the Chiefs, but I'm not laying that number. I did look at Foster Moreau to catch a touchdown. My man's got 3 this year. Big tight end. They usually bring him in around the red zone. And not much has really gone well for the Raiders. Why don't you just feed the hot hand? 7-1. You hit that prop, that's going to pay for the entire day. So I thought about a little flyer on Foster Moreau to catch a touchdown. 100 makes 700. I've made worse bets, that's for sure. I also like DeAndre Swift to score a touchdown, but that market has come down. He was plus 135. Now he's like plus 15 for the Detroit Lions. So don't love that as much. And the other player I was eyeing for Thanksgiving was Emmanuel Sanders. Plus 225 to catch a touchdown or score a touchdown. I guess he could run it in as long as he crosses the plane at plus 225. But as for the 3 games, that's it. First half under, Bears and Lions. Grand Salami, are you interested? 138.5. I had a buddy text me this morning. Love the over. How do you love the over in a Grand Salami? That's amazing. If you don't know what a Grand Salami is, it's the combined totals for all 3 games. And it ends up being 138.5. Problem is, if you have a dud like I expect we have in Bears-Lions, you're not going to get over 138, likely, if that final score is 20-16, which is very, very realistic. Total in that Bears-Lions game, 41.5 now at most places. I saw this study released by Tipico Sportsbook. They concluded that watching football on Thanksgiving is intensified around family and friends. It is. It can be. Around the right family, at least. 38% of the people surveyed believe somebody in their family is bad luck. That number seems a little low. But 84% of those people, of that 38%, have actually asked the mush to leave the room during a game on Thanksgiving. That's incredible. I've had my fair share of Thanksgiving duds, mostly involving the Detroit Lions. They've provided lots of pain over the years. And I went and dug this up. Last 11 years, Lions actually 6-5 ATS. The over in Lions games on Thanksgiving, 8-3 in the last 11 games. So, take from that what you must. I don't really care too much about those type of trends. But I went back and I was trying to remember the year I ruined Thanksgiving. Wasn't 2020, wasn't 2019, 18. This was years back. So I went back and I looked at the last decade or so of Thanksgiving games in Detroit. Texans -3. Last year, they win 41-25 over 52 in the hook. 2019, oh, that game sucked. That was when Stafford was hurt, so David Blau got the call. Lions +5.5. It closed 5.5, but before was it Jeff Driscoll was backing up Stafford, and then he got ruled out. Bears open -3, 3.5. It closed 5.5, and the books got middled on the 4. 24-20. Game went over 37.5. Ugh. 2018, Bears were laying 3, total 43. Bears covered 23-17. Chase Daniel in relief of the injured Mitch Trubisky. What a year. 2017, Vikings -2.5. 30-23 Minnesota over 46. Lions had a couple years in a row, 4 actually, a few years. Couples too, right? Three's few, some is four. Lions 16, Vikings 13. Lions covered 1.5 and 16, under 42. 2015, Lions 45, Eagles 14. Detroit was minus 2. That game went over, 46. 2014, Lions minus 7. They beat the Bears 34-17, over 46.5. 2013, Aaron Rodgers was out. Matt Flynn was in. This is the year Shane McClellan broke Rodgers' collarbone. Lions 40, Packers 10. Detroit was minus 6, over 48.5. And I finally found it after digging through Football Reference. This was the year I was a fuck at Thanksgiving. I was 23 years old, still in college, because I finished up college in the fall of 2012. So definitely didn't have any money. I had more than I could afford on the Lions money line. Don't know why I didn't take the 4, took the money line. That was the game when the Lions were winning the entire time. And this is how Thanksgiving went south. Lions went up early, 7-0. They're up 14-7. They're up 21-14. They are up at the half by a touchdown, 21-14, as I just said. They go up 24-14. Late third quarter, Justin Forsett on third down rushes for an 81-yard touchdown, 24-21. Texans had a field goal, 24-24. But Joique Bell scores fourth quarter, 31-24. I am sweating bullets. It's a roller coaster back and forth. There's 15 people in the house. I'm clearly a roller coaster at this point. I'm probably in a great mood when the Lions are up, and when it's tied, I'm sitting there with my fingers in my mouth, just biting the nails down in the quip. I could just see it right now. I wish there was a camera for this moment. With a minute 55 to go, the Texans score a touchdown. So you're like, oh, we're going to overtime, 31-31. I think I might have had a nickel on this game. For entertainment purposes, let's say it was a nickel. So Lions money line, plus 155. That wins you $775. When you have no money, that's a lot of money. In overtime, Jason Hansen kicks the game-winning field goal off the upright. Detroit's going to win. It's up. The kick is donk. Later in overtime, the Texans, Matt Schaub, I think was the quarterback. Yeah, Matt Schaub throws a clear pick six to Kyle Vandenbosch. If he picks it, he's gone. Thanksgiving is saved. He dropped it. Shane Graham, 32-yard field goal. Bang, 34-31. That's the early game. Thanksgiving. So let's say it starts at, 10:30 in the morning, ballpark? The early game, no, 11:30. 11:30 Central, 12:30 Eastern. So it's about, 3 o'clock. And I feel like if I could go back in time to that date in 2012, November 22nd, I feel like I could hear my mother yell, "Dinner's ready!" right when the Texans won the game. So you're just, crushed. You're up 775 if the Lions win. And you're counting that money when they're up, the entire game. But then you lose the 500, which is almost, in my mind at that time, a $1,300 swing. It's like, oh my God, I'll never be able to recover from this. And then it's the, how's school? I want to talk about school. I remember somebody asked me to, pass the mashed potatoes or something like that. And I just, threw them. Oh God, just a scene. Luckily, I've grown since that moment. But the lesson in this story is don't bet more than you should on Thanksgiving. That's it. Be responsible, right? Bet responsibly. I'll be the cool kid in the room on Saturday, and I use air quotes around cool kid. I'll take Michigan plus the 8. Why not? There were 8.5s available. I think there are a couple offshore. But anything really over 7, I think, is good. This number's too rich. I mean, you go back and you look at what the number was before this past weekend. Ohio State was minus 6. And now we're at 8, 8.5. What, because Ohio State blasted Michigan State 56-7 at home, a game they should win and should win big? I mean, they were a 3-touchdown favorite in the game. They should win big. Michigan hangs almost 60 at Maryland, and that doesn't even matter. Michigan was minus 14.5, and they hang almost 60. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, Maryland stinks. Well, so does Michigan State. I mean, they don't stink as much as Maryland does, but like we're giving Ohio State all this credit for blasting Michigan State, but giving Michigan no credit for going into College Park and routing the Terps. Got it. Okay. Nothing that happened over the weekend justifies a 2.5-point adjustment. And multiple bookmakers told me, look, Sam, we're going to open Ohio State -7 no matter what. One odds maker that I respect wholeheartedly told me his true number on the game, Ohio State at Michigan, is Buckeyes -4.5. And this is a guy who makes the numbers for a living and sends them to sportsbooks offshore. Now, a sportsbook could not open Ohio State -4.5. We all know that. Because the limit bets are going to go bam, bam, bam. It's going to be bet and written up to 6.5, 7 no matter what. So why even put yourself at a tough position? Why do it? No reason to open Ohio State -4.5. So I get the shade to 7. I get that. But once it opened 7 and it was limit bet, 7, 7, up to 7.5, now to 8, it's like, holy crap. You're being shaded now 4 points on Ohio State. There's no value on Ohio State -8, and that's the truth. Now, value is a relative term, and value doesn't mean you're going to win. Clearly, this show this year has had 3 games where we were ahead of the market in the NFL. 6, 6.5, 7 points, lost all 3. I have never seen that in my life. There were 2 games this year that involved Kyler Murray and one with Dak Prescott. The Prescott game, I'm still upset about. We found out Dak wasn't going to play, took Vikings +2. The market closed Minnesota 4, 4.5. And Cooper Rush comes in and carves up the Vikings. You're like, all right, whatever, CLV trophy hanging on the mantle. But the last 2 Kyler Murray ones just blew my mind, where Colt McCoy just stabbed me right in the chest. Kyler Murray not going to play. Take the Niners +1. The market closes, you know, Niners -5, 5.5, doesn't matter. And then Saturday night, I get a text, yo, Kyler Murray's out. And everybody thought he was going to play against who'd they play this past weekend? Arizona and Seattle, of course. Seahawks +1. Seattle closes -5. Doesn't matter. I've never seen that. I've never beaten the line like that 3 times in 1 year and lost all 3. And here's where it gets even wilder. I had Seattle in a teaser +8.5. That lost. So value's relative. Just because you get the right number doesn't mean it's going to win. But back to the handicap here. Michigan's defense is exceptional this year, especially in the red zone. The Wolverines rank 7th in the country in scoring defense, 16.3 points per game. They're 8th against the pass, 10th in total defense. And Mike McDonald's unit, as I just said, has been very good inside the 20, which has been an issue for Ohio State this year. The Buckeyes buckled inside the 20 against Oregon, Penn State, Nebraska. And Michigan's defense is better than all 3. And we're going to just dismiss home field advantage? That doesn't count either. Over 107,000 fans screaming at the gills in the ears of freshman quarterback C.J. Stroud? What could possibly go wrong? And this is the common retort. Well, Ohio State's killed them the last couple years. Yes, that's built into the line. It's built into the perception. The line should be sub 7, and now it's 8, 8.5. Last 3 meetings, Buckeyes by 11, Buckeyes by 23, Buckeyes by 29. But in this 8-game winning streak by Ohio State, there have been close games. 26-21, 42-41, 30-27 in double overtime. Not every game has been a blowout. If you're going to tell the story, tell the whole story. I think the running game from Michigan and the play-action game against a very average Ohio State secondary can keep this interesting. It's not as simple as just laying the wood with Ohio State. We've seen them struggle this year. They have a loss early. They could have lost to Penn State. They could have lost to Nebraska. They didn't, but, I mean, they're not invincible. No team in college football is. I'm still not sold on Georgia being a 5.5-point favorite against Alabama. Now, Georgia's likely going to win the national championship, but if they slip up in the SEC title game or in the college football playoff, would I be surprised? No, not one bit. So I think Michigan is a very good bet. I like anything over 7, and there are 8s available. So go ahead and take them. That's what I would do. I think Michigan can definitely keep this game close. Other leans, I like Nebraska. That market has been very interesting ever since the news that Adrian Martinez won't play. It was Nebraska -3.5, and then it got down to Iowa -1.5, and now the Huskers are favored again, like -1. Like, that's something where the books are telling you pretty much all you need to know. Iowa is way better record-wise than Nebraska. But look at what Nebraska's done. Their schedule has been a bear in the last few weeks. Lost by 3 to Michigan, 7 at Minnesota, 5 against Purdue, 9 against Ohio State, at Wisconsin last week. It's 28-28, and they lose by 7. They're not going down, though, without a fight. And it's not that I have complete faith in Nebraska freshman quarterback Logan Smothers. I do like him. I just respect the way this team keeps playing hard. And Iowa's offense has been pitiful lately. And it sounds like Alex Padilla is going to start a quarterback again, and he can't throw. This game will be a war, but I wouldn't be stunned if Nebraska wins this game. The other one I'm thinking about, Packers off a loss, pick them at home against the Rams. I love Rodgers off losses. And the Vikings continue to be an amazing team to tease, especially as an underdog. I mean, when they're a dog, you got to tease them up. Last week, teased them from 2.5 to 8.5 against the Packers. They are now getting Minnesota is what, +3? See, a 2.5 open and mostly 3. So you could tease Minnesota up through 4, 6, 7, 8, up to 9. They have 5 losses this year by 18 points. It's a very good teaser team. And that offense is awesome. If you have a survivor entry left, holy cow, what are you going to do this week? Sheesh. You got to pick Thanksgiving first. And if you get through that, you got to then pick the Sunday-Monday slate. Most of you probably don't have the Cowboys left. And a lot of you don't have the Bills left. So you're trying to decide Chicago-Detroit. Good luck. I mean, if I had a bullet left, I would probably lay Buffalo. I would at this point. I could see Dallas losing easily. But in the NFL, I mean, we've had so many big upsets over the last few weeks. I would probably go Buffalo in the game because it sounds like Kamara's out for the Saints and Ingram is questionable. But that's, God. I mean, the Eagles maybe on Sunday. Eagles are 3.5 on the road against the Giants. Giants suck. I know the books. I talked to John Murray from the Superbook today. He said everybody's on the Patriots, everybody's on the Chargers, and everybody is on the Washington football team. So they're going to need, behind the counter likely, the Titans, the Broncos, and the Seahawks. But these are tough. I mean, New England could easily lose to Tennessee. Easily. You got your work cut out for you in Survivor this week. Again, I would probably go Philadelphia -3.5 at the Giants. But God, Atlanta, Jacksonville, ugh. Come on, this is tough. You deserve your paycheck if you win Survivor this year. And did you see what our guy Mike Leach did? He pulled something this week. If you were on the side of Mississippi State, this is one that you will never forget. Brad Powers tweeted this out. Mississippi State was a 44-point favorite against Tennessee State last week. 55-10 was the final score, but it was 52-10 with 27 seconds left to go when Mike Leach decided to call timeout and kick a 43-yard field goal. They were up 42 plus the 3, 45. Line was 44. So Leach, out of the shed, comes through and covers for whoever had Mississippi State -44 because he kicked a field goal from 43 yards with 27 seconds to go. That's amazing. Joining us again on Chicken Dinner, some have said that he's the best-looking guest we've ever had on Chicken Dinner, at MTV Devin Walker, who's ready for some holiday football. I hear you've got a teaser in the kitty, but my first question, Devin, where's the Chicken Dinner hoodie at right now?
On my actual body, Sam. Literally on my body. I wore it especially for this occasion. And just what a wonderful welcome. Excellent to be back on Chicken Dinner, the number one sports gambling podcast in the entire country.
You're a podcast host now, I hear.
Yeah, I've dabbled a little bit. I prefer the guest role, but I am 2022. I'm going to be rolling out, I guess you would call it season two of Back to Reality, where I am joined by my lovely reality TV co-stars, and we talk about everything except for reality TV. What are you doing in your real life? That's what we're getting down to.
Does anybody gamble like you do at MTV? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's out of whack or anything, but when you're on shoot or you're on location, are you able to talk shop with anybody that you work with on the set?
So we are gambling kind of all the time amongst ourselves. I actually just had to pay my debts to one Logan San Pedro, who won a Tom Brady jersey, a Ray Lewis jersey, and several other articles of sports memorabilia from me on the pool table this season. So he was one, but he, you know, not gambling like with real money on sporting events. Very few people from the show are into that. I know Fessy's a really big football fan. I don't know if he gambles. And that's pretty much it. So if I want to talk NFL, it's Fessy for sure. Corey's also, I owe Corey a substantial amount of, we made a $1 bill bet last season. So I owe him, I think, 1,000 $1 bills. that's just between us, you know?
So nobody on the set, if you go, all right, Ohio -5.5 at Bowling Green, nobody knows what that means then.
Absolute foreign language.
It's getting tough because all I want to do is talk about it, even though all I do is talk about it at work and talk about it with my friends. I get weird looks sometimes when, you know, I'm scrolling through a phone and I'm looking for a score and people be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I need the score. I need the Bryant update right now. And I can't get Wi-Fi. I get those dirty looks all the time. But most people, they understand how big this is getting. We're almost in 30 states. We're talking about potentially being in, I don't know, I'd say 40 states by 2024. Yeah. Like, this thing is becoming more and more mainstream and more people are doing it. But I'm with you. You still have some people that look at you like you have three heads sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That's, well, it's the lingo mainly. And like, even with my girlfriend, I'll try to, so I give her what are called Devon dollars, which means she gets free bets as long as she doesn't bother me while I'm gambling. So I'll be like, all right, you've got 100 Devon dollars. What do you want to, you know, put it on, whatever. And she's picked some like exact scores, 'cause she always goes for like, you know, whatever's got the highest payout. So she always goes for exact scores and at least keep her engaged in the game. Right. 'Cause she's rooting for something, and it's all reward, no risk. So I'll do it just for the peace of mind of like, well, the nagging has halted for at least 4 hours and you're engaged in the game. Worth it. Totally worth it. But she doesn't understand like a spread or really any sort of any of the math that goes along with gambling outside of I'm going to pick either this team or this team. Like, she sees it very, you know, black and white. And I think that's how a lot of people see it. But thanks to people like yourself, I think the gambling language is starting to be more globally understood. And that's a good thing because it gives guys like us more people to chat with.
She's firing exact score bets?
She hit a live Red Sox exact score bet. And I think they were down like 3-0. And they were playing Tampa. They were down 3-0. And she said, yeah, they're going to win 6-4. And they won 6-4. And it was like plus 1800. It was ridiculous.
I was going to say it should be higher than that. I feel like it should be 30-1. It sounds like you're getting shortchanged by the book, but still, that's a bold ass call.
Yeah, she called it, and she's done a couple. She really likes to pick UFC fights, and she's picked a few like winners and method of victory in the round. Like, she'll be like, okay, this guy's going to, you know, knock him out in the third round, and it'll be crazy odds, and I'll throw $50 on it. It's not every time, but she's hit a couple big ones.
unlike most people, she's betting a little to win a lot. Most people bet a lot to win a little, and I think that's the problem that a lot of gamblers run into.
Right.
We talked about Thanksgiving here. You got three games on the board. Chicago-Detroit, Chicago minus 3.5 as we tape this. Las Vegas and Dallas, Cowboys minus 7, and then Buffalo laying 4 on the highway at New Orleans. What's your favorite game on Turkey Day?
I'm a Raiders fan, Sam, but I just think they are a dumpster fire right now. Give me Dallas. I'm going to put them in a teaser, but I just do not believe – we might have gone over this last time. I changed my fantasy football team name at one point to Derek Carr Sucks, and I stand by that because that team was fool's gold early on. I think they had 2 overtime wins. Obviously, the – interim head coach change drama Gruden situation is never going to help a locker room, and I just don't think they've got what it takes to be a contender in this league. I like Dallas to have a comeback game and probably beat them 2 scores.
So you're taking Dallas. I'm guessing you're going down from 7 down to 1, and then you're going to tease that with what?
Then give me Detroit going up.
Yep.
And I know you've got some Lions stories there. And then I know I'm not supposed to tease through 0, but give me Buffalo. I think the Saints are garbage. Give me Buffalo. And maybe they lose by, a last second field goal, but I like Buffalo and the Cowboys in bounce back games. Although I am not supposed to, I'm teasing through 0 with Buffalo.
I would rather you take a Buffalo-Dallas money line parlay. I would rather you do that than tease Buffalo through 0. I just think because either way you're going to lose, if Buffalo loses the game, you're going to lose the teaser and the parlay, but you're not going to pay any juice on the parlay.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't see Buffalo. I can see them winning by a field goal, I guess, is what makes it, a little scary for me. The money line parlay would work there, but I'm going to have to look at the odds there and see what the numbers look like. But I kind of already made the bet knowing I was coming on here, so maybe there will be additional bets.
I love how you say, I kind of already made the bet. You either made the bet or you didn't make the bet, motherfucker.
Well, it's in the book, so it's been made, but I didn't hammer it. I just kind of, I was like, I got to have some action going into this podcast. But I've actually got a college basketball sleeper for you, not to switch gears right now, but when you're ready,
do it.
Okay. I firmly believe Central Connecticut State is the worst college basketball team in the country. I think they're absolutely abysmal. I watched them play last year, it was 2 years ago at Mohegan Sun in a tournament. And I watched him and I thought to myself, all right, this is the worst team in the country. And I think they proceeded to lose every game but 1 or 2. This year, they're 0-4. They're playing Maine tomorrow, who I think probably also sucks. But I will be fading Central Connecticut State every single game this season. I think they're the worst team in the country.
They have lost so far 99-48. 75-57, 79-65, 77-53. They are. Ken Pom ranks these teams. I love how he splits them, offensive and defensive efficiency. So to your point about how bad they are, there are 358 college basketball teams. 358. He has them 351st in defense and 336th in offense.
Okay, so I'm not way off here.
No, you're on. You're on to it.
Yeah. Fade Central Connecticut State. And the name of the coach is slipping my mind.
Patrick Sellers.
Yes. Sellers, because that's where they're going to be all season, in the cellar of NCAA basketball. No doubt. This team has got zero sauce. Sorry to anybody that's playing on that team. I'm sure you're nice kids, but you're not good at basketball.
Remember how much fun we had when we found out that the quarterback at Tennessee was in?
Oh, my God.
I think they were playing. I can't remember who they were playing, but we found out that, he wasn't supposed to play, and he hadn't practiced all week. And then I go, yo, Devin, the quarterback is in. His last name is Hooker. And you go, let's go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fire away. I always throw a couple units when I get the special Sam tips. And I mean, lifetime, it's up. So, you know, when those things come through the pipeline, it's always a good time. And I never ask, I never will question where the information is coming from, only that I have received it.
Well, I think you understand just how hard it is, because even when you get some of these tips, it's like, I had this conversation with my boss at Fox. He said, well, the result wasn't right, but the tip was right. And I take it very personally, because if I'm going to text people, hey, bet this, I go out of my way to tell them to bet on, you know, XYZ state and it loses, I personally feel bad. But he said, no, here's the deal. If you give me 10 tips, 6 or 7 of them are going to win. And I understand that. He goes, everybody doesn't understand that, but I do. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, 100%. There isn't another way to feel if you've been in the game as long as we both have. You know that it's, especially when we're dealing with, you know, college basketball or college football, and the media presence for some of these lower market teams just isn't there. So these tips are exclusive, obviously, to those teams, but also to who receives them. This isn't like, in my opinion, it's not going to be enough to where it's going to swing the line in one way or the other, which is why you have to get in on those things early. And I understand that 60% is probably what we're dealing with here. So if you go, give me 10 tips and 6 of them work, I'm in. I'm a lifer at that point. And there's been, I mean, you've had Chicken Dinner, Twitter has had weeks this season, I think 7-1. It's been a good year. And on in an extremely volatile gambling market with the NFL the last few weeks and, you know, some of these upsets early on in college basketball. So I'm very thankful to be a part of the exclusive Chicken Dinner tip hotline. And yeah, I'll be riding it till the wheels fall off.
I told you I'd get to this, so I must. I think I ruined 2 Thanksgivings in my life because the Detroit Lions were covering 6.5. And then Matt Stafford threw a pick 6, and I am just a miserable person. I was happy. I was a 10, and then I was a 2, and I know I ruined Thanksgiving that year.
Oh, the roller coaster, the gambling roller coaster is real, and it really can go. It can be looking real good, you know, and then all of a sudden it goes off the rails. So I hope that the Lions this year – We'll hang in there. And honestly, I think – I don't know if there's been a scarier – what are they, 0-9?
0-9-1, I think.
0-9-1 team in the NFL. Because, I mean, if they could just get out of their own way, I think they've got 3 or 4 wins. I watch a fair amount of Lions games because I'm always gambling on them to cover. And I'd like to see how the amount of games they've covered this year, but – I like that in a teaser because I just don't – like yesterday I took the – I had them in a few different teasers. And, you know, they're down 13-0 at halftime and they come back. I think they lost the game 13-10 or something. Mm-hmm. So for whatever reason, they are a resilient bunch. And normally on a winless team, you start packing in it at this point. I don't see that with them yet. So I'm gonna keep riding the Lions getting points wave.
I like how you sidestep my degeneracy and just like, oh, what a good story. So you've never, like, the Walker household has never been a mess because you lost a game on Thanksgiving?
Oh, my household has definitely been a mess, but there are 4 of us, and we all gamble. So we also are, you know, 50% Irish. So it is a... It's an intoxicated bunch on Thanksgiving, to say the least. And yeah, there's some reckless gambling. But as you know, we are not good gamblers that pick 1 or 2 games. So if there is a tough L, we're just right back on the wagon trying to get it back, which is keeping things exciting. But yeah, it also minimizes the I guess, the severity of the losses because there's just so much action happening.
I'm so glad you said that. So I have to put you on the spot and ask you an honest question. Since you've talked about kind of kicking the can down the curb till the corner, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many times have you bet on Hawaii games in your life?
All the time. Usually it's like UNLV or like Arizona State, Hawaii. Yeah, there's those all the time, Sam. All the time. I'm sitting up with like just a useless football game watching the Rainbow Warriors, and I'm just hoping, you know, because you can't bet against Hawaii. That's not cool. So I'm always betting on them, and ballpark estimate over 50.
That's a lot. I had a buddy who was taking bets in Chicago back in the day when I was running around picking up envelopes, and he taught me, and I didn't really know how smart this was, and looking back, I think it's even more brilliant. He used to shade the Hawaii games. So he would personally go into his control panel, like his bookie control panel, and if Hawaii was a 8-point favorite, he would move the meter and make them minus 11. He would then take the total, and these are like in the legend Cole Brennan days when they were just blowing everybody out. He would move it from, you know, 8 to 11, and then he'd move the total from like 66 to 71. And Devin, he would still take 70% of the bets on Hawaii and the over, and people would parlay them together. But he was so smart, he was shading it multiple points.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I'm just thinking, like, because at least 5 times a year for 10 years, and that's 50. So, I mean, that's like an easy 50. But, God, I hope my bookie's not doing that. If you're listening, don't start doing that.
Well, this was the local. This was before DraftKings, FanDuel. Now you could get a sports book at, you know, most places of the state of Illinois. But back then, there was no place. Like, say, Jimmy had a book and then Timmy had a book. You wouldn't be able to see Jimmy's and Timmy's lines unless you played at both places. Like, there was no such thing as odd shopping for the casual bettor.
Right. Yeah. And, well, that's one thing that the, you know, the legislation and the acceptance of gambling that's being passed through is going to help with, because it does, that is genius, and it pretty much makes that style of bookkeeping obsolete, because you've got to, you know, you have to have the best prices. There's a supply and demand situation here. So I do I also recently just went to like my first actual like sports book casino. Mm-hmm. And with 1,000 TVs, and that is very fun as well. So I think we're moving in the right direction as a society, and I'm excited for it because there's a lot of money to be won, Sam.
Yep, I hope they get it here in Mass pretty soon. And I'm still kind of sad I invited you out to Vegas for the Super Bowl. You're going to be down in Mexico taping another TV show.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Last year I was in Mexico for the Super Bowl, and it was absolutely incredible. We had a great time, but Vegas would have been phenomenal. And I would have been, you know, very excited to be there, but we'll see where the winter takes me. I do. I hope to, you know, be on the next one. And you know, anybody who's unfamiliar with exactly what it is that I do, the challenge on MTV, it airs Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's been a pretty good ride for your boy. So, you know, check it out if you haven't. And then, yeah, I mean, if I'm around Super Bowl in Vegas with Sam, that's an invitation I do not decline.
It would be something. I appreciate your time on this show. You've been kicking ass on MTV for so many years now. Follow our guy at MTV Devin Walker on Twitter. You've got an OnlyFans now, which I don't know I haven't gotten to like a 10% off code. I would subscribe to see you in like your boxers and stuff, but I haven't gotten that code yet. Check our guy out, all of our social media on Instagram, and the teaser of Thanksgiving that will save Thanksgiving. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Lions up, the Cowboys down. Yes?
Yes, and we're teasing through zero with the Bills, baby! It's a three-way, and we're taking it all the way to the bank.
I'll see you, Devin, man. Always good shit.
All right, Sammy. Much love, brother. Peace.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Devin Walker for hopping on the show. Record check 195, 192, and 7. We're up 5.6 units. We have two pendings in hockey. They will already be in the air when this show airs. Boston Buffalo over 5.5 goals. The Red Wings plus 120. And Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, Chicago Detroit under 21 points in the first half. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Safe travels. Enjoy the family. Don't ruin Thanksgiving like I did when I was 23. Just have a good time. It's one day. It's one day. That's it. Cash up tickets. Make some money. We'll talk to you next week right here on Chicken Dinner.